And of course, the Exodus in Egypt was foreshadowing the greatest turning point in the history of the world, the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where God, by his omnipotent power, he would destroy and crush the enemy of sin and death and Satan. Again, the greatest demonstration of power ever. This is our God.
Good day to you, listeners. I hope you are having a wonderful day today, wherever you are tuning in from. We are coming to you from Oakville, Ontario here, and we want to hear more about you. Where are you from? How did you hear about us? More importantly, what is God teaching you right now? You can get in touch with us anytime on our website, liveinthelight.ca, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. If you have been in a desert recently, spiritually speaking, this is the series for you. We are talking about a refreshing from the Lord, a wave of hope that can blast through your world and give you a new perspective. Today's message is from Isaiah 43, and it's all about the faithfulness of God. He has done amazing things in the past and will continue to do amazing things in the future. Do you want to hear more about that? Me too. So let's get back into Isaiah 43 with our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice. So what's happened here? God is promising that the proud, dominant Babylonians will suddenly appear as fleeing fugitives. They will be running for their lives, so to speak. They'll be hightailing to their, their ships they rejoice in to try to escape from who? Well, we know God's word tells us it's going to be Cyrus. King of Persia will come and destroy and dominate the mighty Babylonian Empire. What's so amazing to me is Cyrus is specifically mentioned in Isaiah 44 and 45, and he's mentioned by name as the shepherd of God, the one who God has chosen 150 years before he was even born. Mentioned in Scripture by God. By the way, That's how awesome our God is. He's calling out foreign leaders that will be used to rescue his people from a captivity and exile that he also prophesied, again, dozens and dozens of years before it happened, mentions by name Cyrus 150 years before the guy's even born as a demonstration display of just how in control our God is. Now that fires me up, and I hope that fires you up too. Revel, church, in the sovereignty of God. Our God is ordering history. Like he is determining everything. And here's what we learn for God's people in captivity in their desert. Ready? God ordained their desert, and he will ordain the rivers that find them in their desert. God ordained the desert that his people found themselves in, and God will ordain the rivers that meet them in their desert. This is a massive principle for us and for our lives, okay? And it's this, and I'll say it again, maybe in a slightly different way. Our sovereign God over our lives will at time ordain deserts for us. But the same God, in his time, will ordain rivers to flow through those deserts. Recent years, God ordained the desert of COVID. He ordained it. It's not surprised by it. It's not by chance. The purpose is in it. We don't fully understand, but God ordained that, and God will ordain rivers to meet us in the desert of such seasons and experiences. This is who he is. This is what he does. He is so much smarter than us. He is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at all times. We are so finite. We are so small. We are so limited in our understanding and knowledge. But we do know this. God will ordain deserts, and in his time, he will ordain rivers to meet us and restore us within our deserts. This last week or a week and a half ago at the conference we held for GCC, I literally watched rivers pour over leaders within deserts. It's one of my most joy-filled experiences is to watch the people of God become encouraged. I said to a dear, dear ministry friend of mine at the conference we had here, as he was sharing with me how a group of people of his church, they gathered around together and specifically over him, and they were weeping with tears of joy and healing and prayer. And I know the desert he's been in. And I said, hey, could you imagine this day a year ago? Could you even possibly imagine this day a year ago? He says, I couldn't. I could not see it. And yet you persevere. You trust the Lord. You cry tears of sadness and sorrow and pain and loneliness and heartache, but you don't give up. You seek the Lord. You trust his mercies are new every morning. And then within your desert that God allowed and God ordained for reasons we don't fully understand or can fully explain, in his time, in his way, his rivers meet you, and you are so overwhelmed at the kindness and grace and mercy of God. It is extraordinary to watch. God ordains our deserts, and God ordains the rivers that meets us in the desert. And what I find about this is you're sitting on this passage too. Listen, so often in our lives, without the desert, we will not fully appreciate the river. Again, one of the greatest challenges that we face in our Western world is we constantly believe that life should be as easy as possible and everything should go our way. We just want more ease, more luxury, more benefits, more gifts, more pleasure, more leisure. We want no deserts. And the greatest curse upon, and myself fully included within this, the greatest curse upon our society is because we want everything to be so good and so easy, we cannot see the grace of God when it comes. There's no gratitude. There's no humility. There's no appreciation for the very fact of how good our God is to us. Without the desert, you're not going to appreciate the river. But when you're in the desert and you're dying of thirst, and you're barely hanging on, and you're trying to find a reason to hope, you see that water meet you in the desert, how grateful are you? How overwhelmed are you? How humbled are you? How much praise comes from your lives where my God has met me again in my desert with rivers of living water? That is when life is fully seen. That's what our God likes to do all the time, in his time and in his way. His people are exiled in captivity. And what God's love says to us, God's love does not prevent the deserts. God's love promises his presence will be with us in the desert. And God's love promises us that in his time, the rivers will come. Father, will you give us rivers in the desert? Father, will you choose for your glory and in your time that you will allow us once again to feel and reside within the living water that only you can provide by the Holy Spirit of God. And we start, though, this series right now, we start with this principle understanding, the Lord is sovereign, though, over my desert. And that's one of the first steps to knowing his full blessing, that you will surrender and submit, not fight through, but you will lie down in the midst of that and say, Lord, I do not know, I do not fully understand, but I trust you. And I trust you in your sovereignty that your ways are higher than my own. The Lord is sovereign over my desert. Number two, the Lord has worked miracles in my past. There's so much reason to hope because the Lord has worked miracles in my past. Look at verse 16 now. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. Notice, they lie down, they get demolished. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, snuffed out, quenched like a wick. One guess to what this is referring to in verses 16 and 17. This is referring to the Exodus. This is referring to the deliverance of God from his people over Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the Red Sea. This was a defining moment for Israel under the old covenant, the astonishing power of God over the enemy. Remember, through the Exodus, the Lord God brought the world's superpower to its knees in a moment. So this word is reaching the captives in Babylon, and God's saying to them, hey, remember the things I have done. Remember, I have worked astounding miracles in your past, and I will do it again. See, Babylon was to be the rising superpower again within our context. The Babylonian Empire, their reputation, their might, their military, their intimidation. But let me ask you this. What is the military might of a world superpower compared to the king of the universe? Do you think God's up in heaven? He's like, oh no, man, they're getting really strong. They got a bunch of weapons right now. They got some people gathered. I don't know. What does God say? There's a couple of verses to remind us of just how awesome and sovereign our God is. Job 12, he makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away. See, right here we're saying when a nation rises to superpower status, it's because God let them. God is the one who caused that to happen. And then he can just snap his fingers and they're gone. All throughout history, we see that. They come and go. I love Isaiah 40. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Drop. In a bucket. Like a drop in a bucket. And then I love how the verse ends. See that there? They are counted as dust on the scales. There's gotta be some dust in the pulpit here somewhere. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah, just like dust. Like that is what the nations are compared to the sovereign glory, power, and authority of our God. He is awesome. This just in, he's not scared. He does not worry. He has no stress. He's ruling the universe with his feet up. He is in absolute, total, perfect control, and he wants his people to know that again. See, the point here is God is saying, listen, I've displayed my power in the past. I'm the same God today. Ray Ortland says it this way. This is very, very important for us. The great exodus out of Egypt in the days of Moses was not a one-time event. It was a pattern of who our God is and what he does. Look at that. Think about that. Let your faith grow through it. The Exodus was not a one-time event. It was a pattern as to how our God moves and the glory he displays and the power that he exhibits. This is who he is. It's the very character of our God. He is the God of miracles and deliverance and rescue. So therefore, because of this truth and reality, how can we ask small things from a God who can do all things? Where we are right now, what are our expectations? What are we asking God for? What do we believe in him and what he can do now in the midst of situations that we currently live in? Again, the faith should rise and the eyes should be up on him and off of self. This is what he's asking his people to do in the midst of captivity, exile in a foreign land. He's like, hey, I worked miracles in your past. You just remember who you belong to. And all of a sudden, eyes off of themselves, all of a sudden, eyes on their God, all of a sudden, they're like, man, our God is awesome. And of course, the Exodus in Egypt was foreshadowing the greatest turning point in the history of the world, the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where God, by his omnipotent power, he would destroy and crush the enemy of sin and death and Satan. Again, the greatest demonstration of power ever. This is our God. So you take your hardest times right now and you remember what the Lord has done. You take your desert right now where you are and you get your eyes up on the Lord. He ordains the deserts. He ordains the rivers and he's worked miracles in the past. and he will again work miracles in the present and the future. It's who he is. He cannot stop doing that. It's his very character. You know, I thought by way of biblical example, I thought of Peter on Easter Saturday. Friday and Sunday, understandably, get a lot of attention. Sometimes I just dwell on the loneliness and the depression and the devastation and the heartache of Saturday. Especially for Peter, based on, you know, what happened to him. Saturday was Peter's greatest desert he ever went through. By God's grace and kindness, it lasted a day. The river of Sunday, the miracle of Sunday, the resurrection of Sunday, the power of Sunday, the glory of Sunday. Peter could not have seen that coming. He's in his loneliness and heartache and devastation of personal discouragement. And then he is met with the miracle working awesome power and glory of his God. May we see the same God, the God of the Exodus, the God of Easter weekend, the same God today, loved ones. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what he says. He reminds his people in verse 17, you know, so he says, yeah, the Egyptians and all their chariots and all their military might and all their strength, what happened to them? End of verse 17, they lay down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. That's what happened to them. Remember that, people? Remember that? That's the God you belong to. This is the God of renewal. This is the God of revival. This is the God of power. This is the God of glory. This is the one to whom you belong. And that's special. And that is awesome. And by the way, let me just say this too. When you look at verses 14, and he says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I want you to just turn back one page in Isaiah, at least in my Bible, turn back one page and look at Isaiah 43, verse 4. He says to his people, Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, he says, and I love you. I want you to sit on that for a second. Maybe just look right here for a second. Look here. Many of us in deserts, many of us fighting through times of discouragement, fatigue, weariness, feeling dry. Many of us not understanding why different circumstances have happened. I do want you to understand this. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been adopted into his family by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and you are his child, I want you to receive these verses here today as your own. He is your Redeemer. He is your Holy One. He has created you. Listen, you are precious in his eyes. You are honored. Ready? And he loves you. And he loves you. He sees you. He hears you. He knows you. He is for you. He will not forsake you. He cannot be unfaithful to you. He will never betray you. You are precious to him. You are honored. And he loves you. And that is also why he is speaking to you right now, to have your eyes go off of self and onto him, that we might see all that he is and all that he desires to do in us and through us at this time. We have hope because he has worked miracles in the past. Point number three, and lastly, the Lord has saved his best for my future. The Lord has saved his best for my future. Look at verse 18 now. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So this is really interesting to me, okay? So God's people, they were just commanded, right? In a sense, just commanded, remember the Exodus, remember the past, remember the God who does awesome things again. But now in verse 18, now don't remember the past. Remember not the former things. So what's happening here? I think what's happening here is both can be true here. Remember what he has done, but don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing, right? Humans have a tendency to idealize the past, often in phrases like the good old days. Oh, remember when? Oh, the times when. Those were great then. We were great. All the things that, oh, remember those times. Remember that past. Remember that history. Remember when those, and now all of a sudden, today stinks. Nothing good. See, God's like, no, listen. Yes, I'm the God of the Exodus. But do you think I'm a one and done God? Do you think I did the Exodus and I'm not still the same God? Do you think I'm done with miracles? Do you think I'm done recreating? Do you think I'm done renewing? Do you think I'm done saving? Do you think I'm limited? Do you think somehow I've checked out, punched my card and left? Do you think I'm not still ruling the universe? Do you think I'm still not the King of Glory? Do you think that I'm not saving people across this world and every nation? Do you think my plans can be thwarted? Do you think I'm not every single day creating and renewing and causing new life to be found for my glory every moment of every day that I live? Do you think that I can be limited? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Every single day, God is doing a new thing. It's so interesting with our God. In the light of the gospel, there's death, but from death comes life. There's loss, but from loss comes gain. And he says to us today, right now in this series, in this church, from this passage, he says, Hope Bible Church, remember not the former things. There have been great days. You can dwell on that in thanksgiving, but don't you think for a second, God says, I'm done. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Last couple of years stunk in many ways, but in the purposes of God, they can be just as beautiful as any other season we've ever experienced. This is what the Lord does. Remember not the former things. Behold, I am doing a new thing. The God of the Red Sea is the same God you belong to today. And what I love about this too, let's get some biblical theology out in front of us right now, okay? Biblical theology, tracing history through the entire Bible, right? This is the God who brings rivers in the desert. This is what he does. He did it again in the Exodus. He came with a miracle and made a way in the wilderness for his people. He did it again for his people in captivity in Babylon and made a way through the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He did it again through his son, Jesus Christ, coming to be the living water, the one who brings life and eternal life for all who believe in him. But think about it right now. God intends to renew the entire universe. This is what he's going to do. He's going to renew the entire universe. Revelation tells us when he returns and sets up his eternal kingdom, he will make all things new. Again, the river of the water of life coming from the throne of God, representing the eternal life that we have in him for eternity and for eternity there with him forever. God intends to renew the entire universe. But listen, how does he begin? He begins with believers in Jesus Christ. Every single person in this room right now, every single person who's alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us, you are being renewed day by day. You and me, we are being renewed. We are being renewed day by day for the glory of the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, if you think I'm done, you need to get back in your Bible and remind yourself of who I am. I'm doing a new thing. And I will admit to you this, when I look around our world and I can see passages of scripture too that will point to the reality of the darkness increasing and the difficulty in the last days and things that are going on. But one thing I need to be checked on, what the Lord is doing for me in my heart, Robbie, those things could be true. And you open scripture and that's wise to do that. But don't you ever forget, nothing can stop me. When I want to move and I want to save, and I want to renew, and I want to revive, I will do whatever I want to do because I am the Lord God Almighty is what I hear him saying to me. So Robbie, make sure your prayers are in line with the glory and the beauty and the power and the vitality and the splendor and majesty of the God whom you say you love. And then I say, Lord, my faith is growing. My hope is increasing. My love is strengthening. I believe that you will do precisely as you decide to do. And I believe you've led us here in this passage at this time to say to us, I am doing a new thing. The best is yet to come. Because that's true. Theologically, that's always true for us. The best is yet to come. But specifically at this time for us as well, a group of people praying to him in this regard. Just as we wrap up this message here right now, here's a slide. How can I prepare my heart for rivers in the desert? Just quickly, but I think importantly here, this has to be a joint effort, church. It just can't be a few people or a couple of leaders. I beg you to join us. I really encourage you, for the next 2 months, begin to read and pray through Isaiah chapters 40 to 66. Grab a journal. Start reading the chapters. The next 2 months, I've started. Grab a commentary beside if you want to. Certainly grab a cup of coffee. Isaiah chapter 46, 6, write down observations, use it as prayer. When I read the word, I pray the word. I can't wait for next week, Isaiah 44. I'm already so excited. Attend our November weekly prayer meetings, the next four Wednesdays, 7:30, most of them in the youth room, one of them will be here together. Attend those, we'll be praying out of our passages that we're in together right now. This week we'll be praying through Isaiah 43. We added a resource on our e-news yesterday, preparing your heart for revival. Wonderful resource through OneCry. On the e-news, on our website, you can track that down so easily. Go through it personally to get sin out, to get the Holy Spirit filling. Remove worldly distractions. What worldliness right now is quenching God's Spirit in our lives? Remove the distractions, repent of that. More to that to come in the weeks to follow. With an intentional devotion, as we just articulated. I think this is huge here right now too. We gotta believe the Lord for a new thing. No matter what the world's doing, no matter what culture's saying, no matter what social media is portraying, we gotta believe the Lord for a new thing. He has to do it. So we're asking him to do it. Please, Lord. Amen, church. Love you. I love you very, very much. God help us. Let's pray. Father, I pray you are speaking so clearly, and I pray you are moving with power. Cleanse us, Lord, from our sins. Prepare us to be vessels of honorable use, men and women and children who are filled with prayer and dependence and love and adoration and faith. Faith. You are the God who makes rivers in the desert. In so many ways, Lord, our culture is a vast desert of death. You specialize in bringing life from death. I pray even as we prepare right now for the Lord's Supper, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in death, that we might have life and hope and faith for a future of inexpressible joy and glory. Move in our church, fill our prayer meetings, move in our people with humility, adoration, and love. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be-